Blog Talk Radio.
We will have a song first.
Tell me that it's only
episode will involve several topics. I'm going to focus and hone down on one in the beginning. I started trying to dig into the bottom of why there's so much embitterment regarding the Georgia election fraud and the accusations on both sides. There was a Senate Bill 202, 98 pages long, that said anyone could challenge anyone, meaning any American citizen, could challenge an unlimited number of voter election fraud ideas that they thought might have happened, as long as they do it within a 10-day limit. And they would have to gather their information, obviously, right on or right after the election occurred. Some people even went after their own relatives who moved. And there was a conservative group that challenged 92,000 votes in the case of Georgia, mainly Trump-sided people. They would even drive to people's neighborhoods and check out if it verified with what their actual address was and their status. Then I watched a series on 60 Minutes about how Rudy Giuliani, in one case, there was video surveillance, there were election officials and observers in this, in Fulton County, Georgia, in which the voting people who were monitoring the election were told to go home at 10:30, but then they were told to stay there and finish the counts in order for the public to receive the proper information for that vote. And this one lady put a sealed ballot box, you know, kind of like a handheld file holder. She put it under her desk thinking she was going to go home, and then she didn't, so they had to move the box to another table. And Rudy Giuliani accused that particular county of mishandling uncounted votes. But then in the 60 Minutes interview, it unraveled how the box just got moved across the room. It wasn't neglected. It was just moved. Now, to some people, it might have appeared that it got, you know, shifted and then neglected, but it didn't. Basically, when you think about the broads, we've done shows before on Diebold and stuff, like voting machines, but when you think about the broad spectrum of, we have 300 million Americans, of that amount, maybe 100 million have voted, because obviously there's some children, there's some people who never vote, there's children. So just think of the mass number of votes that are placed in our nation, you know, each major election. Now, I was thinking of a possible three-step process in that effect. For example, I'm not really a big fan of mail-in voting, but I can see why people in nursing homes would do it. But I think when you come to the polls, whether people agree with me or not, and I think John will, you should have at least one or two forms of ID, either a driver's license, a passport, a Social Security card. In Minnesota, they require a piece of mail if you're a new registration voter, and you can register on the day of the election. I believe some states like Wisconsin, you can't. Then you place your ballot, you put it in that little thing that scoots through, and then you leave. On the way out, maybe you could sign another form with your signature a second time, stating, you know, just verifying your name and your information, where you live, and your age, and your sex. So I think that would be my proposition. And based on the videos I watch, you know, people are making a very earnest effort to try to avoid any type of election fraud. But with the mass number of voters in our country, things can get broken down, reshuffled. You have to have very efficient people within these, including observers, in all these polling places to make it really properly work. So I'm going to pull in my guest callers, who are my regular guest callers. John is here, and I pulled you in, John. Good evening.
Good evening, Conspiracy Jane.
I am not the conspirator. You are. And by the way, Pianchi just rolled in, and he's one of the few people who rarely miss the introduction, but unfortunately tonight he did. Don is second in line tonight. Hi, Don.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Don. Hi, Pianchi. Hi, everyone.
Hey, hey.
Towards the middle of the show, we can talk to Don about the mass rains in Nevada and how Burning Man was damaged by that. And Vegas got it, too, and so did some of the outlying desert areas. Okay, now
no
we
problem.
Have Pianke. He's rolling in. Hi, Pianke. Anyways, Pianke, John, Don, just listen to my intro. It was amazing. I observed two videos online about how some people are making earnest efforts to improve election fraud from happening. There are watchdog organizations, there's individuals coalescing to make sure that every voter is a valid voter. Now, the laws differ from state to state, but there is a more stronger effort being made before 2024 rolls around. Who would like to go first based on the facts that I just stated?
What they should have is they should have ballots that are separate from the state and local for federal candidates. That way they can vet the people that's going to have those ballots. And you can make sure that no non-U.S. citizen is voting for federal candidates. And also go back to paper ballots.
Do you think that mail-in ballots have a strong potential for fraud because of the nature
that... Well, yes, they can. Yes, they can. And it should be guaranteed more of a safety precaution of who those mail-in ballots are going to.
Because let's say a 70-year-old grandma has custody of a 14 and 15-year-old, and one of them opens the ballot in the mail and decides just on their own to decide to vote for the grandma. I mean, stuff like that could happen a lot. I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying with a physical object being transported through the crappy U.S. mail system. And then usually places like Minnesota, you have to have your ballot back in by October 22nd if the election's like November 4th. So there is a lot of potential for misuse, I believe, with the mail system. John or Don, care to comment? And John and Don, have you ever been an election observer?
Yes, I have. I'm a precinct captain, co-captain. There have been since probably 1,000 precinct captain, well, co-captain 16, co-captain at 12, captain in 16, no, captain in 16, co-captain in 20. And I'm the precinct captain.
What do you mean by co-captain?
Well, we have precincts. We have caucus instead of a primary. So this will be the first year we have primary. So we get caucus where we get the entire voter body of our precinct.
Did they eliminate the caucus and now put it in the primary?
Yeah, this will be the first year, General, that we have a primary. So this will be new for us next year, February. But we are the third state voting, so we have to get this together quickly, and I'll be in the middle of all of that. But, yes, I've been an observer. I was an observer. It's like a guest observer, if you want to call it that. In the last election, and I also cure ballots. That's what Bianchi's talking about when he talks about those other waves of people coming after the ballots to check on the addresses. That's called curing, and so I'm involved with that. When I was doing political stuff, I door-to-door canvassing. I did that for almost 10 years, but. For the most part, I was number one in the state. Well, number two, the first person who's the head of the party. So she
number one in what?
In the
canvassing.
Number of doors, number of persuasive changes so I can make to change voters' minds. things like that. So that you know, I did that for many, many years.
Okay.
Well, you know what, Brian? You know what? I was at a convention of state meeting tonight, and the president of the mock simulation convention of state was there, and we talked about some of the proposals. You know, there's three proposals. One is the budget. One is overreach of the federal government, and also term limits. And he made mention it was 49 states represented at the simulation, everybody except for Rhode Island. And
was it a
issue
convention?
Of term limits, it was a mock convention. It was a simulation of how it would be.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is what he said about the term limits. And they had come up with no representative, a U.S. senator, can serve more than 18 years. That would be 3 terms as a U.S. senator and 9 terms as a representative, and no one person could serve more than 24 years. And that would apply to all federal officials, including bureaucrats. Now, most of them can go along with the elected representatives and senators, but they didn't like putting term limits on the civil service workers, basically. And you know why that is? Because a lot of their relatives have got these positions. You hear me?
Like nepotism?
Nepotism. A lot of their relatives have these positions in EPA, have these positions with alcohol, firearm, and tobacco, have these positions with OSHA, and they keep on creating new ones. The FBI, the RIS, and everybody else, they should be limited to, I'll figure out some way to do it, to a term limit also.
Like, I have a friend who just retired from the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. She was a biologist. She was in there like 35 years. What's wrong with that?
Well, what happens with these bureaucrats is that they make rules which become laws. Just like you hear in the news where the court said that Texas should not have put the buoys down the middle of the Rio Grande River in order to stop the invasion. Well, you had
right.
A judge said that they didn't follow the rules of some particular agency having to do with the regulation of the waterways. So that's what those are the things that you run into. You got and see the thing with these rules is that Congress never vote on them, but they become laws.
That's because the executive branch and all the fundamental branches that are functioning, like education, the Pollution Control Agency, they are the execution branch from what the congressional laws creative have been made. So whatever Congress makes in the lawmaking part gets executed by all these branches. And they are effective because they're the ones putting the nuts and bolts, running it into an actual, you know, type of candor that's going to make it effective, just like when there's a flood or a hurricane, FEMA, which is part of the executive branch, puts into motion all the people who's going to be stationed near the disaster to help those people. That's just one example.
Well, Congress makes the laws, and they make the laws for those particular agents, those particular, what they, their titles. There's 50 titles in U.S. standing laws. Number 26 is the IRS. Number 27 has to do with Indians. Number 14 has to do with the Federal Aviation Administration. Okay. Now,
right.
The head of those agencies make rules. Okay.
Absolutely.
And the rules apply. The rules apply to the – he makes the rules based on his interpretation of the law that came out of Congress. Now, if a person, a citizen, have a problem with those rules, then they go to the courts. And the courts would decide whether or not the rules is following the letter of the law that Congress passed. And sometimes they don't. And then sometimes they don't even go that far, because that'd be like you arguing with the IRS. The IRS have a book of rules that's thousands of pages.
I have been arguing with the IRS for 5 years.
Exactly. So that's the problem. You got these bureaucrats that's put in force rules, quote, laws, that 96% of what you are governed by is never voted on by Congress. And that shit's got to stop.
I agree. And by the way, my debate with the IRS has been beneficial, but they made a ruling on my case in November, and I still haven't gotten the balances of what I owe. So every time I make a payment online, it says balance unknown at this time. But that's neither here nor there. I'll have John or Don go next, commenting on what Pianke said.
Well,
you know, my comment, I actually wanted to comment on the voting process. To me, we have all this technology, state-of-the-art stuff, right? Like we have these super quantum computers. We have, you know, we're able to calculate things instantaneously. So I don't understand why is it in the key swing states? You know, we're talking like Pennsylvania, Georgia, you know, where Arizona, Nevada, all those kind of places where they're taking weeks. I mean, we're talking 2 or 3 weeks after the election. They're counting votes. I don't get the whole deal of mail-in votes. If I got to get a driver's license, I don't mail my stuff in. I go in person. I have to show my ID. You know, you do that in important things. So this concept that we suddenly, for this election, we got to mail things in because of the COVID. You know, if you can't go down 2 blocks to vote, how do they get their groceries? How do they survive? Do they just stay inside their house for years? To me, you've got people fought and died to have this right, our freedom. People should show up and vote, you know, and that's if they
unless
can't make
they're in
it,
a nursing home.
Well, even so, you know, then have someone go out to the nursing home, get their ID, verify their vote. Bring it in. You know, we've got 4 years to figure this out. How come suddenly in the last month, oh, my goodness, I can't vote. I've been deprived of my rights. It's like, no. You know, there's plenty of time to put together a system, get the votes, verify, count it. Because here's the problem. When you say, oh, at 8 o'clock, the polls have closed, so-and-so is ahead by 10 votes, let's say, and we'll get the rest of the votes in a few weeks. Well, what's that going to open up? A lot of corruption, because you go, oh, we just need 11 votes, and that's what they got. They were actually bagging in on Trump, because he called up, I think it was Arizona or Georgia. He said, listen, we got like 80,000 votes or so that are in question. There's problems with them. And that's because he was saying, You can't figure out 11,000 votes, you know, that would go in my favor out of 80,000 that are in question. And they were saying he was trying to, you know, steal the election. No, he's just saying there's so many votes that are in question here. You know, there's plenty of doubt. You know, it hasn't been settled. So that's what I don't like, 3 weeks or 2 weeks to count votes or even a week. They should have it the same night.
I don't mind.
Well,
I
would say the next day is reasonable. The same night could create more errors.
No,
go ahead, Don.
But you have a computer. You put the vote in, it counts.
Yeah, but that's your first fallacy, John. That's your first fallacy. That's your main fallacy. You're assuming that computers are infallible, and they are the one thing that can be hacked, changed, any time, you know, they want, by anyone. So
bingo.
That's a fallacy when you talk about we have advanced computer yeah, we have advanced computers, but they can do anything they want to do with manipulation. So, you know, that's why your argument, if you will, is untenable.
We also did a show on Diebold, and this one lady was running for a countywide office, and one of the machines cast like 15,000 votes for someone who was either dead or not on the ballot. I can't remember the situation, but it was very off.
Well, ballots should be counted by hand. There's nothing, they can be counted by hand.
I do think
yeah,
so, too.
I agree. And I also wouldn't necessarily mind voter ID. I wouldn't mind having to present some kind of ID.
The latest in technology, whether it's the reading, the iris in your eyes, or whatever.
Now, that's fallible.
Well,
again,
in Minnesota, if you're at the polling place, you can have your neighbor vouch for you that Jane Hoffman is Jane Hoffman.
Yeah, that's an open door for fraud. What do you say, John?
Don said it.
What do you say, Don?
I didn't say anything.
Somebody said something. Okay, so I don't want to go into, I mean, we are having a good conversation, but the overall thrust of things is that Trump and his 18 people that worked with him are being challenged. But in the same way over the years, each party has brought their own set of challenges. For the most part, as amazing as it was, most of the Democrats begrudgingly accepted the 518 vote lead that George W. Bush got over Gore in Florida. In the end,
right,
they accepted it, including Al Gore.
This isn't the first claim of manipulation, voter manipulation. And it's not the second or third or fourth or sixth. It happens all the time. And the main thing, though, what I was going to say is we here in Nevada are going to be struggling with if we even use the machines or if we go to the hand count in many of our counties. Our counties are pretty small. You know, we're still the fourth smallest population state in the country, but we're the fourth largest in the area. So we have.
Wait a minute. You're the fourth smallest in population?
Right. We might be third.
Are you kidding
now.
Me?
We might be fifth now because Las Vegas is growing like.
What about Wyoming, Idaho? Utah's pretty big.
They're growing too. A lot of people are understanding that the East Coast and Midwest, particularly the East Coast, is not the place to be anymore. And you want to come out for freedom and open spaces. The West Coast, most of the West Coast, is it even California, even though it's expensive as hell. But what I was going to say is that Nevada, we here are going to be fighting hand counting in several of our counties. And when it was Tiaki was talking about the 50 bureaus. Basically, there's still a lot of state autonomy, and that's where the 10th Amendment comes in. It keeps the states in having their own controls. So there are a lot of states.
It depends on the department. Like driving laws and driving regulations are run by the state, but you have the EPA that oversees the state environmental protection area, but Richard Nixon implemented a national EPA to overlook the state EPAs.
Right, exactly. So, and those EPAs do a lot for the states that they have a large interest in, and then states like Nevada, we're a nuclear test site. Everybody in Nevada has radiation. We basically have it in
my professor wrote a book about that giant trash thing outside of Vegas. I can't think of it right now. But it's like a dumping ground.
Well, we have the Anaconda Mine pit, which is a little more than a third as large as Lake Tahoe that's in Yerington that's going to destroy some of our smaller cities. But with the toxic groundwater and
have you had nuclear radiation?
I probably have, but I live in a part of the state that didn't get that much. It didn't get as much as Las Vegas and down southern Utah way, things like that. So, you know, there are a lot of places in Nevada that are still toxic. And that's one of the things that we're looking at trying to clean up, but the EPA is against this because they don't want to spend the money because it's going to be extremely, extremely expensive. And they'd rather.
I did a paper in college on it's like the sites that have toxic waste on their land. One of them, they built a high school near downtown L.A., on a toxic waste dump, and they had to abandon the school.
Yep.
I forget what they were called, but I did a paper on it at master's program.
Well, biggest Nevada.
It's very expensive, and they have super funds to fight it. Go ahead, Pianke.
In Nevada, you're going to have to sue Howard Hughes.
Why is that?
You know that
Sue Howard Hughes? Hell, he was working with the government, wasn't he?
I know, but did he create toxic waste?
No, I don't think he created toxic waste. I know he underwrote the government to tell them to stop testing. We want to do something with his plane, the Spruce Goose.
Yeah, He told Nixon he wanted it dumped out of the United States, so they put it off the coast of Florida, except he had an island out there, so then he was pissed off that they were dumping it off of, was it Nassau, around that area. But, you know, our biggest swamp, our biggest toxic site is Washington, D.C. I mean, you got Mitch McConnell, frozen Mitch. You know, like can someone hit a button? And see if this guy can, if they can reset him. You got John Fetterman, right? He's like, this guy's going into like rehab practically. We've got, you know, Dianne Feinstein doesn't show up for a few months. Like, these people need to get out. They would be fired on a normal job. You wouldn't allow them to drive a car,
they were,
you know,
or
babysit your kids.
They were born. They were voted in, John. That's the American way. I understand that your Donald Trump wants the Constitutional Convention to change the Constitution, get rid of it, defund the Constitution. That's his model. But
can I
say
something before you guys start a new fight? I thought I remembered the word right. It's the EPA Brownfield Program. It's a program that provides grants and technical assistance to communities, states, tribes, and others to assess safety, cleanup, and sustainable reuse of contaminated properties. And you can look it up on www.epa.gov/brownfield.
Well, here's another thing, too. Whenever the federal EPA and the state ETA have conflicts, the rules should go to the state. Why do you need to have two agencies practically doing the same thing?
Because of cost. And we deal with the BLM all the time, Bureau of Land Management. So that's something that our land, we've got the fourth. We've got California, Texas. We've got the fourth largest BLM land mass in the country. So we've got to protect our BLM land, but the states don't have enough money to concentrate on, you know, a couple million acres.
Well, you know,
You got to get the government out of that, though.
Yeah,
because
if the state don't have the money, Don, how does the federal government have the money?
Because
right, let the states do their thing.
That's the federal government's land. They own the land, Bianchi.
No,
so
that's the state's land, Don.
It's the people's land.
No, it's not. It's the people's land.
It is the
state's
land. The government doesn't own anything. It's what we give them.
It's the federal government's land. That they manage.
Constitutionally, Don, the federal government can only own three different types of land: forts, magazines, and ports. That's it.
Okay. All right. Well, they manage the land. They don't own the land then. They manage it. So that is a difference. I stand to be correct.
You know why come they don't want to go to the states? Because they afraid that the states will keep some people from coming in. Well, hell, the federal government does that now in certain state parts. You can't fly your damn drone.
Yeah, but that's different because that's a safety hazard to the airplane.
Ain't no airplanes way out there. Their limitation is 400 feet. That ain't going to be a safety hazard to the airplane. But that's state land. Here's where the problem come in, Don.
But those drones are near the airports.
You still can only fly so high. 400 feet is not within, unless you're within a certain zone. But
the city could put an ordinance that, like, within 2 miles you can't be around an airport or something like that. You know, the state or city can deal with that.
What do you think the people are doing? They're doing the lasers and the drones anyway.
Well, that's breaking the law.
And there's more people in court with lasers and drones than there are almost.
But,
that's
people breaking
DUI.
The law. It's like people in Challenger automobiles are driving 80 miles an hour in 75 mile an hour zone. But the thing is that the land belongs to the state, and the state should have control over the exploration and extraction of natural resources and not the federal government.
Right, but they don't. The federal government doesn't have anything to do with extraction. But they do have everything to do with what's put back in for contaminants. And the groundwater and the soil.
The state can do that just as good. Then you can put people in the state to work. But you know another thing, too. Look at Joe Biden. He just canceled one drilling operation in Alaska.
Right.
And that should be to the state of Alaska.
In a way, yes. But the thing is
it should.
I don't know if
the federal government...
I don't know if
the federal government. Yeah, but the federal government in their Willow project. It's a project called Willow, WILLOW. The federal government stands to make $11 billion off of fees and licenses. Well, shouldn't that be going to the state of Alaska for its own people? Because the federal government is going to get it, and they're going to be giving money to the Ukraine.
But you're talking to the wrong state, person in the wrong state. We have the sixth largest silver reserves in the world, and here in Nevada, and we have one of the largest extractors in the entire world, and they're extracting, they're raping us left and right because they're extracting with these companies, international companies. These are not American companies that are digging silver and gold, and they're extracting it, and they're not giving us shit. They're giving us three.
Well, that's wrong.
But I had to lobby to get or help get the – I had to lobby three sessions in order for the gold extractors, gold miners to give us a little more money. They were at a 3.42.
Don't you agree? Don't you agree that the licenses of that should be state license and fees should go to the state, not the federal government?
They do. I mean, the federal government, besides taxing, they don't get anything from gold and silver extraction. They don't get anything. The money goes to the miners and the state. That's where bulk of the money goes. So, you know, that's if you know, they might have to pay export fees when they export it to other countries. But if the materials were here, minerals were still here, then the federal government gets nothing. The states and the international miners get a bulk of that money. So that's one of the other things that I'm always working on, to make sure that the state garners a little bit more of that extraction fee. So I was able, we were able to, a couple of organizations that worked on it, and I were able to finally get the miners to increase their tax just a little bit, but it was an increase, and that'll go primarily to the state.
Why was it a ripoff again, Don, the gold mining practice?
Because you're looking at the 3.85, I believe, percent in the taxes and everything else. Very little money goes back into the state. They do some philanthropic things and education and some kind of services.
That
but
reminds
most of our miners,
me of something.
Most of our miners are rural.
Which
so
state in America has a lot of state get their a lot of states get their revenue from lottery, people playing the lottery in the state?
We can't do it. Just recently,
the biggest gambling state in the country cannot take earnings from lotteries?
No. Fuck no. You don't understand. This regulations on gambling.
How do you know I don't understand?
Because you wouldn't ask.
I have 2 degrees in government.
Yeah, well, why don't you understand? Why don't you know that when the mob controls the state and the mob can be a new form?
Well, I know how that goes because my son's dad was a gold miner and he was ripped off by higher up people.
Right, but the scams go, you know, that's just scams. It's the same thing as not wildcatters, but the people who are exploring, and they'll come to you and ask you for, you know, monies to help them explore. And most of those wells either don't produce or the money that you might have put in there don't cover the expenses and you're still out of debt. Usually those require getting certain extractions, a number of amounts. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on when you talk about scammers and down the road salespeople, things like that. But if the actual extractors, it costs them money to extract, but their profits are such that a tremendous amount goes overseas. And we're, you know, I'm in the middle of all those forays. There are a lot of things that are going on in Nevada that lead the country. We're the R&D, besides Austin, Texas right now, we're one of the R&D maybe stages for many things, mining, aircraft. We have our hot balloon races, hot air balloon races coming up this week. They're right in the middle of the city. Our airplane races will be going on the week after that, and that'll be the last year because of all the crashes that have happened, and some of them have gone into the crowd, and some of them hit new houses, so they're going to discontinue our air races. But we have a lot of things that go on here that very few people have. And that's why this is kind of a wide open, free land. You can come do whatever you want. We've got, you know, winter and summer recreation with skiing and a lot of hunting and fishing. We've got everything here in the high desert. And, you know, we're proud of it, but we're here to just have fun.
Okay, we've talked about a lot of practical, functional things. I know John did some research before the show this would be a good time after 45 minutes on the air, John, for you to introduce your topics. Are you already in the shower? Yo-yo.
No, I was on mute, so I'm sorry. I had to, you know, when your phone, if you leave the screen, everything shuts down. So I had to like re-enter, find the call, get to the mute, unmute it. So, which particular subject did we want to discuss, Jane? I've been looking at all kinds of crazy stuff.
Well,
like,
I think we all had a great discussion about the federal role of executing laws. Now, I thought for the last 15, 20 to 30 minutes, recently, this is kind of like goes without saying, but Trump's election tampering case in Georgia is politically driven. So is, you'll probably disagree with me, them criminalizing Hunter Biden's behavior. It just seems like the people in power, whoever's in power, goes after the main figures in the other party. So I would like you to comment on the newest indictment on Hunter Biden.
Well, Hunter is like, he's the gift that keeps on giving. The deeper they dig into this, with his business associates, he had several calls where he would just get his dad on the speakerphone and, to start off the call. He had a thing just last week.
And why would he do that? And was it recorded?
You can imagine if you're doing a business deal, like right now, we how many billions have we given to Ukraine? And he made millions of dollars in Ukraine. Isn't that rather interesting?
We know
they've
that.
Got a lot of, there is a what you might call a conflict of interest. He did a deal with this Chinese guy. Let's see if I can look up his name. And basically, he said, you guys need to get working on this because my dad, he's here, and I've got a good memory. I can never forgive, when I get upset with someone, and you need to get working on this deal for me. And he did a lot of that kind of stuff. He always was talking about.
In other words, he tried to subtly bully them.
Intimidate them. Yeah, the big man. Now, who else is the big man? You're doing business. Your dad is the vice president of the United States, most powerful country, the second in position to the most powerful job in the world. Who else is the big man when you're traveling with him on Air Force Two?
The president.
Who?
Oh, you mean you're talking about the wingman, the person who's calling the shots?
Yeah, basically all of his calls and deals and texts, he used the word the big man. And who else is he referring to in these business deals? Who's bigger than Biden outside of Obama?
The world leaders, the people who run United Nations.
You mean Hunter Biden is working? Hunter Biden is traveling with the United Nations, and he's cozy with all these.
I don't want to play trivia. Just tell us the information.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Who's the big man? The big man is his dad, and all the business accounts they set up was with the family, right? With his brothers and his Natalie Biden and Frank Biden,
Mafia.
James Biden. That's how they roll. They've been doing this for years, and I mean it's not a some super secret deal.
Did they take it out of the Kennedy handbook?
I mean, Devin Archer, he testified, his dad was in on everything, and the pictures, pictures of them, they're golfing together. Joe's saying, I don't know anything about it. My dad's sitting here right here, he's talking to his dad on speakerphone, but dad doesn't know anything about what's going on in the room. He's just not that, he's not that coherent, He must be Mitch McConnell, he's frozen. He can't hear what's going on in the room.
This is what's going on. These foreign companies want access to certain market areas in the United States without any interference. Just like Don just got through claiming about what foreign companies are doing with gold extraction in Nevada. So that's what they want. Joe Biden will help them to work and do what they got to do without being disturbed. And that's what they're willing to pay for.
Kind of like he's smoothing the way for the corrupt people to get away with stuff.
There you
go. That's why
Ukraine. Right.
That's why we're giving all these weapons and things, and we're whatever they need, you know, we're providing. And now we just sent I think some of our National Guard people over there, and so we're getting step by step closer to war, world war. And it's sad because he's compromised. He's compromised with China. He doesn't make a big stand with them. He allows them to do what they're going to do, and they know that. That's come the whole BRICS thing is set up. You think about the world
Maybe
population.
Maybe he's trying to subdue them so something worse doesn't happen.
Well, something worse is happening. If you look at what are the major populations of the world? China, yeah. India, yes. Africa, yes. The Muslim world, yes. What has just aligned due to the mismanagement of our leadership? Well, BRICS has five aligned. That's Brazil, India, China, Russia, South Africa. They have over 70 nations that want to join BRICS. They're going to pick five more. But basically, 60% of Africa is lined up. They want to be with Russia. They want to be with BRICS. South America, you have Brazil, and China is making deals all across there. We're talking like 5 to 6 million out of 8 million people of the world are lining up with
Hang on for a second, John. There's nothing that has stopped them from doing that in the past. There's nothing that stopped South Africa from trading with Russia or anybody. They didn't have to form that organization. You know what they want to do? They want to have unfettered access to U.S. markets. It was the U.S. markets that created the millionaires in China. And they turn around and take their money and invest through their Chinese nationals who's buying up land and even buying up homes in the hood. That's how this stuff is working.
And China's buying up Africa. They're buying up South America because it's the Belt and Road, right? So they're offering all these countries super highways to connect for trade across the country, and then they'll give them technology. And they'll give them other trade agreements.
They don't have the means to innovate. Africa is about 160 years behind the United States. China jumped like they did because they had access, and a lot of people sold information to them. And you know, too, another point, they don't manufacture and produce nothing themselves. They don't produce no airplanes. China just bought commercial airplanes from Boeing. Some African countries don't produce anything. Hell, they barely.
I was
going to
mention something about that, Pianke. I have friends, a lot of African friends on Facebook, and they said the new wave is that Africa is going to be the most developing nation in the next 100 years because they have the most minerals.
Yeah,
but
well,
also,
really, Russia got just as much minerals as they have, especially gold. But the thing is, Jane, is that they got to have people to do these things. And people, in order for them to do these things, have to have skills based on experience of doing it before. And some of these countries don't have that. That's why it takes so long for it to get done.
True, but here's the problem. What China is doing is going to these countries like Uganda. They buy and invest heavily, and these they do loans with the government, and then they say, okay, you need to pay up now. And like in Uganda, they go, we don't have the money. They go, okay, well, we'll just take over, you know, your police station, your
right.
land, your parks, your assets. And that's
if
how they do it. And allow
railroad,
this.
If they
all
build
these
a
mining,
railroad and the country can't pay for the railroad or miss a payment, then they take control of it. And
that's what
they
do.
Run it,
just like they own the port of Long Beach until Trump kicked them out.
Yeah.
In the case of Africa, the other thing too is all these minerals that are mined, it takes slave labor. So you have, you know, 10-year-old kids working in the mines with their bare hands for like 14 hours a day, and it's just slave labor. And so go ahead.
Those are local laws. One thing China doesn't do is interfere with local government and what they be doing. If they work kids, China don't care. They don't interfere. Whereas the United States want to put stipulations like unfettered abortions on demand and same-sex marriage and all that crazy stuff. They don't like that. But here's the point. If they needed to buy something, like for instance, China is buying Boeing jets. What are they paying for in U.S. dollars? They're not paying for it in Chinese yuan. If South Africa wanted to buy turbines from General Electric, they're going to pay for them in U.S. dollars. They're not going to pay for them in the South African rand. They're not going to take it.
Right, but once they bypass the petrodollar, the American petrodollar system, they're going to be trading in gold between each other. They're going to bypass this. So that's a part of what I'm saying is, you know, 5 to 6 million out of 8 million people are switching to Confederate in allegiance with China, with Russia. If we get into a nuclear...
I just have one question, John, though. There's a lot of West and East Africans that live in America, like Sierra Leone, Liberians, Ghanaians, Somalians. Some of them have half of their relatives living over here. Do you think Africa is
they
a large
got
the continent? Africa is a large continent. It's three times as large as the U.S., the North American continent. I don't know about Canada, but it's three times as large as the U.S. Do you think every one of those countries is going to naturally align with Russia? Half of those Catholic countries are Catholic. I just don't see it happening.
Well, we're decadent compared to those cultures. They don't. You know, you go to a Muslim African country. You go to Middle East. You go to China.
I live with Muslim Africans. They have more Gucci handbags than I ever.
Trans rainbow. We have a gay spokeswoman.
Yes, Russia's anti-gay rights, but okay, I live with the Sierra Leone family. They have more designer clothes than I could even dream about. I mean,
I understand. But
they're very
but
Americanized,
saying,
even if they are.
Let me ask you another question, John. Let me ask you another question. You say they're going to be trading the gold, right?
Well, that's going to back their currency, whatever they come
all
up
right.
with. It'll be gold-based.
Uh-huh. Okay, so how do you think they're going to get U.S. dollars? How are they going to get U.S. dollars to buy what only the U.S. have and have the best of?
Well, they can still trade with us, but the point is we're not going to be the controlling currency. We're not going to be the world currency if 60% of the or 70% of the world population isn't trading in fiat dollar.
Because if they
have
gold, they're going to have to change the gold. They're going to have to sell the gold for U.S. dollars. Then they're going to have to buy what they want with those U.S. dollars. So now the U.S. source not only got the U.S. dollars back, but they got the gold.
But our system's not. Our system isn't backed by anything. It's fake money. It's fiat. You know that.
Regardless
there's no gold backing
it. If it says that gold is $1,900 an ounce, then they're going to have to produce 1 ounce of gold in order to get $1,900. Now, if it says that what they want, a turbine, costs $50,000, then they're going to have 50 ounces of gold that they're going to have to sell for U.S. dollars and turn around and buy with those U.S. dollars, buy the turbine. So now the U.S. has not only got the gold, it's going to have the dollars back.
I don't track that. They're Xing us out at like 60 or 70% of the market.
The thing is, John, what Georgi is missing is that most of our major companies, we have trade deficits with them. They're making money off of us, especially if we interject. You know, subsidies and all these things that we give them just because they're beautiful or whatever. But bottom line is that their greenbacks are from us as the trade balances.
We're trying to go green, right? And who's making everything? China is. Who else is coming up with tech and workforce? India. Where else are you going to get more labor? Africa.
What do you have in your house?
We're a bunch of unemployed people.
John, what do you have in your house for sale? I mean, something you got that you want, you would sell. Just name it.
I don't have a house. I live in a van. See how our economy has gone?
You got a microwave. You want to sell. Let's look at it like this. You got a microwave you want to sell. If I come to you and wanted to buy your microwave, would you take Chinese money or you want American money?
Well, in America, we don't have the Chinese market, the money here to exchange. I mean, it would be too messy. Yeah, we have to work with the dollar.
All right. Now, hang on for a second. Let's look at this a little bit closer. Suppose I came to you with gold, hard gold, and you want $50.49. How are you going to get 49 cents out of a piece of hard gold? Saw it off? No. What I would have to do is sell the gold for U.S. dollars, then come back to you and buy the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
You got the dollars.
If the dollars are useless, right, if they've hyperinflated.
That's what you want.
Well, you think that's good for American economy to have overinflated, useless money?
But that's what you want. You ain't going to take the gold. I can't cut off 49 cents worth of gold if that's the cost.
But why do they want to even trade with us when they can trade with China? They can get their oil from Russia or Saudi Arabia, or their labor and their minerals from Africa. In other words, we're dealing with NATO. You know, what are they doing for us? We're partnering with the wrong people, is what I'm saying.
Well, don't worry about NATO. But what I'm saying is this. When you got what other people want, they're going to have to pay you in what you want them to pay you in, and that's U.S. dollars.
Right. But what do we have to offer that they want to buy from us outside of our weapons, like our
nuclear reactors, nuclear reactors, science systems, steam generators in order to produce electricity? They want controls that's made by Honeywell.
That has some value.
So they need – see, their idea is to get to where the United States is today as fast as they can. So if they're going to get to where the United States is, they're going to have to use what the United States use. They don't have time to innovate it and perfect it themselves.
So you think that BRICS is not an issue? You think that China, Russia, India, Saudi Arabia, Iran – Brazil, all those people aligning to work together, you think that's good for us? Like, we're in a strong position?
It's not, it don't make no difference. They want what we have. They don't make it themselves. when you go, when you stand up and walk across, when you walk across,
you know who's offering them what they want is China. They're giving them infrastructure, they're giving them technology, and when they take Taiwan and they shut out these China, South China Sea, what are we going to have? What happens if North Korea, China, and Russia decide to nuke us? What are we going to do?
They don't really want Chinese stuff. They want American stuff.
Everything's
right,
made
guys.
In China. Are you kidding? I worked at the 99er. Everything there is China. There's nothing made in America.
Nobody wants that junk, man.
Yeah, but
they want the big stuff.
The elect at the 99 cent store, there's no advanced technology systems there. Nothing under their... Everything there costs less than $2.
That's trinkets, John. Trinkets, trinkets. I don't have none of this stuff in my house.
So where do you go shopping?
I do. I have stickers.
You know how many people be starving in the streets without the dollar store or the 99er or Target or Walmart?
I can't help that they're going to lose out. But what I'm telling you that these countries want the big stuff. They want the Boeing aircraft. They want the Caterpillar.
Do you have a Boeing aircraft? Are you driving a Caterpillar tractor? No. You go down. It's what you're wearing. It's what you've got in your refrigerator. It's your couch from IKEA.
I got a hobby of making
You guys
pizza.
Missed an important industry.
Hang on,
real quick. In Liberia, they need decent cell phone towers.
That's right. They need towers for cell phones.
Because a lot
the
of those
only thing I have
cheap
that's
ones...
made in America is my Ford van and my Chevy Camaro, and half the parts are from China. And the tires, too.
John, the most important things African make are beautiful children. I have one.
Well, you and your sister did a great job of foreign relations.
Jane wins.
John, why don't you tell Pianki and Don you're in Slick's idea? Well, maybe it's personal at this point, but your idea of finding a religious child to inherit your property.
Well, he wants to go to the Philippines and look at some land over there. He's also going
to
get some
Listen
dental
to
work.
This, you guys, this is interesting. Go ahead, John.
Because if he does dental work over here, it's going to be like $30,000 if they go through everything. He can do it over there for like $10,000. So he's going to go over there and walk the land. And the property's cheap. You know, like the exchange rate is great. Basically, you'll be a very rich person if you go over to the Philippines. But you can't own it because the government owns the land unless you're a citizen. So that means finding a woman, having a child, and then you will
the
property to the child.
Even the citizens don't own the land. In Africa, you can get land if you're a Ghanaian, you can get land for 99 years. If you're a foreigner from America, for 50 years. And then if you build buildings on it, you got to renegotiate that when your time is up. If that chieftaincy don't like you, they keep those buildings, or they tell you, take your buildings with you. You're not going to have this land for another 50 years. Now, you going to pay up the buildings
Barbara
and walk off
from,
with them?
Can you own
my
a
friend
lion?
Barbara inherited land in Ghana, and she left it with her kid, but now he can't afford to go there and look at it.
Can you have a pet lion or an elephant if you live in Africa?
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm just telling you like it is. So this stuff about the Brits, it don't mean much of anything. They don't produce nothing. They don't produce anything. And they're going to want to come get it from the United States.
Actually,
you know China don't have enough.
70% of what we buy is from China.
One at a time, you guys.
China does not have enough arable land to feed its own people.
This is true.
That's why they're trying to buy up land here, farmland, grow food, and ship it back to China to feed their people. They don't have enough arable land to feed crops for feeding their people and crops for feeding their livestock.
Pianchi, didn't you say that about 4 weeks ago that China was buying up farmland in Iowa?
They buying up farmland, it's wherever they can get it. And there's states that's saying that it's illegal to sell land to U.S. adversaries, which would be China.
And I remember you saying that on, it was about 4 weeks ago. So anyways, you guys, it's
we'll see how
ice cream time and my bath time. So I'm going in the tub in a few minutes, but I can still hear you.
We'll see how this shakes out. All I'm saying is what happens is when your annual income is about a third the cost of a house you can buy. You know, like when people are making $30,000 a year and their houses prices are like $150,000, you could buy a house. But now the average person makes about $30,000 to $50,000. But the houses are like half a million. It's like 10 times the ratio. And so, you know, we'll find out in a couple of years how bricks.
You can buy tiny homes. You can buy a tiny home for about $15,000 to $30,000.
$15,000 to $30,000.
Where? Yeah,
a tiny home.
I know someone who is looking at one.
Well, like
a tiny home in Duluth.
A $15,000 home in Duluth?
No,
yeah.
They're those tiny homes. They're, like you'd have to own the land, and then you could put the tiny home on the land. Like I saw one on a main road in Duluth the other day.
They're
like those efficiency houses.
They're anywhere from 400 generally to 700 to 800 feet.
Well,
now, they started building them in L.A. for homeless, but now it's branched out to commercial.
Well, that's right. If you want to drive 50 miles to work and hunt your food with your own bare hands. I'm talking about, the majority of people live in a city. Go to any major city in the United States.
No, we're not in Podunk, nowhere. There's 100,000 people in my city, including the neighboring city.
That's like Long Beach or somewhere. You know, that's like,
we don't kill moose for dinner. We go to the store. I mean, what I'm saying is, if you leave Duluth an hour, then you are in the woods. Okay.
Right. You send us pictures of like deer and animals running across your property.
Yes, we have deer. We have the moose are dying because there's a new disease out called brainworm that they got from snails, and they've been slowly dying up here for 10 years. But we also have lynx. We have these large cat-like animals, I forget what they're called, besides lynx, bobcats.
Oh, yeah.
We have otter, and I'm not really in a creative mood, so that's all I can think of right now.
Well, here's a question. How many, who thinks the two candidates are going to be for president, and who do you think is going to win after the machines get done with the vote?
I'll go last because I'm jumping in the I'm sinking my legs in the tub. Hold on.
Because, I mean, that's a basic, easy question. That's the big thing coming up. What do you think, Don? Who's going to be there and who's going to win?
Who's going to be where and who's going to win what?
Oh, who's going to be the two candidates, Republican and Democrat, and who will take the vote?
The Democrat will probably be who is this Gavin Newsom, for the Democrats.
Gavin Newsom? Duh,
yeah,
you should know who that is.
And then for the Republicans, it's hard to say because Ramaswamy might actually take over. I think Chris Christie's going to do well, and maybe Larry. I think that
Larry Elder.
Larry Elder, yeah. But I think that Tim Scott, they've got a whole host. But the two candidates that they're talking right now aren't going to run. Biden is not going to run, and Trump is not going to run. They're going to have too many diverse problems, issues to make them viable.
That's what I think, Don. You took the words out of my mouth. I don't think Trump or Biden will be at the top of the ballot.
Nope. I'm on.
Do you think Trump won't be at the top of the ballot, or you think that he will be in jail to keep him off of the ballot? Because if, as you know, he has four judges.
I just don't think he's going to make it to past the primaries for either reason. There's too much baggage with that guy.
He's got four indictments, and he's actually tied with Biden in all the polls.
Right. And
I just don't think that he is a feasible candidate, nothing negative. You know, even if he makes it through all the legal hurdles and he redeems himself, which is kind of far-fetched at this point, I don't think that he will be the nominee.
Well, outside of after the election, because you realize that whatever happened January 6th was after the election, and basically he did his 4 years. What other reasons do you think he's not a good candidate?
It's not that I don't think he's a good candidate. I think that there's going to be a monkey wrench in his plans, some kind of fateful action.
Well, like
what?
Because all these indictments is a bunch of bullcrap.
Possibly assassination.
So other than that, like what?
I think that's it, a bullet.
And if they do him like that, what's to prevent them from doing someone else later on?
I don't think the Republican Party as a whole is going to support him.
Well, he's 30 points ahead of everyone. As you know, Ramaswamy, and none of these, well, he might have a little surge, but all these guys are like 10%, 1%, 2%. They're nothing. I mean, Trump is annihilating them.
Can't even move it.
I honestly...
All these indictments are a bunch of bullcrap.
You're always talking about prophecy, John. I think something prophetic is going to happen in the next 6 to 9 months.
Ooh. All these indictments is a bunch of bullcrap. The woman in Atlanta thinks she's going to go someplace. They all do, really. They're not going to be being used. They're not going anyplace.
Okay, I think it's going to be Al Sharpton versus Mike Pence.
And I'm committing suicide.
Mike Pence will get four votes.
Mike
I know,
Pence
I'm joking.
Beat,
I,
Mike Pence could... He couldn't beat Donald Trump's dog, and Trump doesn't have a dog.
I want a dark horse candidate, no pun intended.
So you're talking Tim Scott.
I just want someone to shake up the system. I'm tired of these old folks ringleaders. I don't want anybody over 60 running this nation. Chelsea Clinton versus I have to think about it.
Chelsea Clinton
versus the imaginary deep state.
No, I think that probably Eric Trump or Donald Trump Jr.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that would
Donald
be a great,
Trump Jr. Has a lot of followers on X, on Twitter and X.
Yeah, well, Chelsea Clinton has the mother crowd. She's going to take the women vote.
Okay,
so women.
I'm dipping my head in the water. You guys are in charge for 3 minutes. Okay.
I can only imagine.
So Don, are they talking about Newsom for this election?
No, but the Democrats don't have any viable candidates. They don't have any other viable candidates. I don't even think, I mean, Markey, you got some of the other guys. They're not even able to run. The Castro brothers down there in Texas, they've shot their wad and they're done. So, you know, they're not really, as has Cory Booker, those guys are not even going to be in the running. They know how hard campaigns are. But
who in the heck would ever vote for Cory Booker? Good gracious.
Hey, he's a good guy. I deal with him all the time.
Cory Booker and Akeem Jeffries? Come on now.
No, I haven't met Akeem. But
isn't he woke? Isn't Booker very woke?
Yeah, the same stuff. White supremacy, racism. That's all they talk about, John.
But he talks about love and family. He talks about that.
Yeah, but I don't give a damn about his family.
And he talks about God. He talks about the religious aspect of how the U.S. soul is supposed to be cared for. You know, he's trying to be a benevolent leader, and he's done a very good job for New Jersey. Now, he is in the pocket of New Jersey pharmaceutical, but, you know, that's just something that he's got to deal with. But
is Michelle Obama out of it?
She doesn't want the term, just like Oprah. They don't want to go out president. And they would win. So, state of affairs of America. We've got people who are running who are just plain idiots, and other people who would be, they would be positive to both parties. You know, they're scared to even take on tasks because it's huge. You know, we've got crazy people everywhere. Every other one of these dictators, because that's what the world is predicated on, is dictators. And so, you know, we're looking at the fact that, we've got some really, really difficult people that we have to deal with. And that's something that is amazing.
You know? Have you heard in your circles any whispering that Obama actually had young men sent to the White House to have sex with them occasionally?
No.
Just as like chatter.
But he was not. He was possibly, at one time he could have possibly been bi. And, of course, everybody, and John, you brought it to everyone's attention, Michelle's crotch rocket dancing. So, you know, and it's an extremely uncanny that cousin. You know, that cousin, so it's extremely uncanny to have that cousin look like.
Look, Michelle Obama is going to divorce Barack.
Michelle is what?
She's going to divorce Barack because he is that way.
That's fine. I mean, they've got the few, they did their job. They did what they were supposed to do. They just like Joe Biden. Joe Biden, if he doesn't run again, that's fine. Because he did what he was supposed to do. And now it's up to everybody else to try to figure out where he just came from.
Oh, shit.
So you don't think Joe's going to make it to the finish line?
I really don't. I think that Joe is going to have some major problems. If not physically or mentally, they'll just be the party is just going to change direction. They're going to vote in somebody else if Trump is not running. Now, if Trump runs, Joe will run. And that's almost a guaranteed win. Ballot, you know, manipulation or not. That's just really something that's going to be that they do.
Joe Biden run again. If they don't jack up the ballots, he's not going to beat Trump. He didn't beat him last time.
Yeah, he did. He beat him by 7 million votes. You're talking about the Electoral College. He beat him. I mean, Joe Biden.
Popular vote does not elect presidents. It's the electoral votes.
That's what I just said.
And the reason why is because in several cases, they counted the alternate ballots.
That's been done for ages. That's been done.
Absolutely. So they cheated.
Right. Just like they cheated Gore. But it happened.
The same thing you hear the Republicans complaining about. No, the Democrats was doing the same thing in 2000, 2002, 2004, and 2006. I don't know about 2006. They was claiming that the ballots were stolen and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
It's been doing that forever. They've been doing that forever.
Yeah, but we got to stop that crap, man.
You can't. It's too late. It's embedded in our system. It's systemic.
I'm glad that you're honest about this. I like the honesty. It's like we all know it,
man,
you know, at some level.
I've been honest since day one. What are you talking about? That's what I'm talking about. All this crap that a lot of folks, let me put it like that, they're just ignorant. They are brain dead. And you can't take into consideration much of anything other than their vote. So give them their vote. And then everything after that, we just have to work around it. That's all. It's really easy. And, you know, the politicians are the ones who take advantage of it. That's why we have so much graft and corruption, you know, in the system. It's because the politicians go out there, they know what they can get, and they get it. And they prey on the young and the elderly. All these social media, all the internet, that's for preying on people. Data collection is the second entity besides sales. These manufacturers don't give a damn who they manufacture for, except for the fact that they get their names, their addresses, their date of birth, all that stuff. So, you know, that's the data collection part of it. Them being able to retain a file is the main reason that these companies are still in business, not because they are making anything, just like Pianchi was saying. These companies can't make anything, but the data collection and the data storage, Chinese are number one. They've got better storage systems than anybody in the world right now. And America, unfortunately, is way behind because we've refused to modernize our system. So we're far behind all of these countries. We're just doing everything because, like we've talked this whole show, the greenback and the American product is still number one in the world. So it's really as simple as that. We're still the biggest and the strongest and the best.
Well, you know, to that point, yeah, except the rest of the world is pissed off. They're tired of our manipulation, and that's why they're kind of ganging up. You know, it's going to take a while, but I'm just saying there's a big shift going on where the rest of the world is like, they're tired of us interfering. They're tired of us being in, you know, their countries, taking out Gaddafi, taking out Saddam, taking out.
But our population is dying. Our leadership population, not the rest of the population, but our leadership population is dying. And again, we alluded to that in this program when you mentioned that we're losing our working pool. You know, we're losing people. We don't have enough people for the jobs and the manufacturing that we have. You mentioned that earlier. You know, this is all tied into population, how many people we have to work. And we're losing so many people, but we need, and we can't admit it, we need these people to come in. We need these immigrants. They need to be made Americanized, American citizens, but they need to come in. You know, the green card for East Indians is tremendous. The number is tremendous because they need them for the software sector. And they're not.
Yeah, they need skilled people, but the point is we don't have any regular jobs. All our jobs are going to be replaced by AI and robots. The CBP1 app, which is for for immigration, the cartels hacked it. So they're setting up appointments for these immigrants to come in, the illegals to come in, and they're getting money off of this. Like, the government admitted it. It's like, yeah, they hacked it.
Right.
Like, we can't control the situation. We don't need more workers. You know, we already have – what work is not getting done? I mean, it's like it's all going to be robots. So what's 20 years or 10 years or 5 years from now, what jobs are they going to have? Someone comes over here, they don't speak English, they don't have any money. Where are they going to live? How do you survive? That doesn't make sense at all.
The group's homes. Everybody, you've got 20 people living in a home.
Oh, well, yeah, so politically, they want that, right? They want a homeless group of you want to bring from the poorest countries, come into the country, and we're going to be now successful because, you know, it's like we're building a team of midgets trying to compete against the NBA.
When was the last, more or less white person picking cotton or cleaning toilets or whatever? When is the last time you've seen one doing that?
Well, what does that do for our economy? Like, how many 20
the
illegals come over right now? What would you hire them to do?
It keeps our economy.
What would you hire them to do?
We got people that $6 an hour that we're paying.
You know how much my grandson is making? My grandson just graduated engineering degree. He double majored in business.
$35 an hour.
He's making over $6,000 a week.
No, $35 an hour.
No.
That's $100.
Absolutely.
That's $120 an hour.
There's jobs that we don't have people to fill. I mean, that's really pitiful. And then, too, what about all these people in prison? Why come they shouldn't be rehabilitated to do some of this work that you're bringing immigrants in for? At least they are American.
Because that's exactly why. Prisons have to be filled with Americans. That's where the federal monies come in. Again, like we touched on in this program, the states need the federal government money. They don't give a fuck if the federal government is interfering in their statewide business or not, as long as they get their money. Simple.
So, we're going to save America by bringing in people who have no skills, can't communicate, have no money, and with their babies and their girlfriends, and that's going to save America. That's the plan, right?
Sounds like those idiots from France when they came over in like 14.
Well, no, they had
they could speak the language.
But they
I'm back on
virgin.
The air.
Didn't nobody know
it
that
was
language.
Virgin.
What dumb shit is that? Nobody polite.
It was virgin. It was virgin at the time, John.
It
you know
virgin.
It was virgin.
It was virgin.
It was virgin.
So we didn't speak English when
about
it came over from
Iran.
English.
It was populated by a whole bunch of black people. They call Indians.
They couldn't do shit.
That was 10% of the population. So the other 90%, what did they do? They just stood around and did nothing?
They didn't have jobs.
Yeah,
they didn't work.
They couldn't do shit but sit down like Sitting Bull and stare at the sun all damn day.
No, they didn't do that.
Are you talking about India or Persia?
No,
we're talking about Indians that was here. They couldn't do that. What could they do?
They could do. They could hunt. They could fish.
They can do crafting.
They weren't hunting. They was following the buffalo. If it hadn't been for the damn Spanish, they would still be walking. Spanish showed them about horses.
Right, and that was fine.
They weren't going to develop anything. Hell, look at them today. Look at them today.
What?
Look at what they accomplished today. Nothing but casinos.
They're the same. No, they're the same.
Good casinos.
I have Native friends who are in treatment, and a lot of them still have drug addictions. I'd say 25% of the reservation.
Now, I'm not going to say that's all of them, but they did. I tell you what, they're about to pass black Americans up, though.
No, they're not.
Ooh, that was a cut.
That's all right. We're the kings and queens of the world, so we know it. It's all about time. It's all about patience.
All right, well, if that's what you think, then I respect your thoughts.
I know it. If you don't believe in the Bible, then it's okay. But
I respect your thoughts, Don.
That's all right. Everybody,
the queens of what?
The kings
of what?
The kings of the world, of the entire
of the world.
We already are.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that nobody wants to admit it. Because
you have to have a kingdom, but they don't know how to pass their proficiency classes. Even how are you going to rule if you can't read?
Don't criticize black people tonight. African Americans have a strong presence in media. There's tons of African American Joe hosts.
He made a statement that they're kings and queens. Right, so that means they rule. They have a kingdom. I didn't know we had kings over here, and that we had slaves, and they rule. Like, what's their empire?
Sometimes it's just a social term.
That's because your head is.
It's a social term because I saw a black dating app that said, "Find your king, find your queen."
Oh, that's some feel good stuff.
That's a
delusion. Like, if someone says they're a princess, the majority of people are peasants, the common people. We're commoners. You can't have, like, a million princesses. Not possible.
Well, that's how the black Hebrew Israelites think, too. They think that they're the true Israelites and they're going to rule the afterlife.
That's delusional.
And that the Gentiles are just chump change.
It's not delusional. Right, it's not delusional. It's the truth, and we're just in our, you know, about our sixth or seventh foray around the world, and we're coming now, and we're taking over America.
Don't know where you get this. Look, Don. People around the world don't get along with each other.
I'm Superman. I can fly.
The last shall be first, and the first shall be last.
Correct.
Actually, I'm Batman. I have a Batmobile.
So Donald Trump will be in purgatory in the next life.
Do you believe that I'm Batman?
No, but I believe I'm the 1970s version of Mary Decker, even though my belly
knight.
Is large.
I'm the Dark Knight. Do you believe me?
It's 10 minutes after 12. I'm getting ready to go.
Only one person can do the conclusion tonight. Who wants to do it?
Let Don do the conclusion.
Yeah, let Don.
I'm going. I really.
He's a king.
Okay.
Let
good night,
Pianke.
You did a good job. Good night, Pianke.
Bye bye.
Let the first be last, and the last be first. What's your conclusion?
That's exactly what I've been trying to tell you guys for 10, 11 years now, and there's a saying, the meek shall inherit the earth, and when you are subjugated to all of the violence and hatred just because of your skin color, then meek is a mild word for it. So, you know, one of the main things is that everybody needs to understand their rank and make sure that, you know, they make a positive influence on their communities, their cultures, be proud of who they are and where they came from, but also know that the future is about society. It's about living in a place where people can live and prosper in whatever ways they want to. So we, you know, we have to be very, very reticent of the other guy position, no matter what. And that's where we're at right now. Black, you know, Africans in general understand that. African Americans are a mutated race. We are infused with everyone. So we're kind of an experiment, and we'll just have to see how it goes. God bless.
Okay, I'm going to close the show with John's song.
And then me again. God bless me.
Bye, guys.
I'm eating ice cream. See you later.
Well, you can listen to the song while you eat ice cream.
All right. I'll listen to this song. Good night.
1, 2, 3, 4. Good night.
Good night, Dan.
I believe in destiny.
Scandinavians rule. Everyone else drools. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Jane.